Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up in 30 minutes, Kevin Harlan's going to join us for the NBA on TNT. Last night, a couple of important games. Number one, Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans taking out the Memphis Grizzlies. The Pelicans desperately needed that game to stay in the hunt for the eighth and final seed of the Western Conference, because the Grizzlies sit in that eighth seed right now. And before last night's game, with a loss, the Pelicans would have basically been home for the rest of this, couple more games of the regular season, but would not have had more time to catch up to the Grizzlies. But instead, a big win last night, and Zion Williamson performed. He played 25 minutes last night against the Grizzlies and had 20-plus points and 7 rebounds and 5 assists. And once again, Zion proved that he's not just a high-flying aerial dunker. He could do that, but he also had great footwork around the rim. He also had great spacing. He also was good on the boards. He also did the things that you want your number one guy to do, not needing only highlights to be effective, but instead finding ways to contribute no matter what the play looked like, no matter what the defense looked like. And as Zion had 23-7 and a career-high 5 assists in just 25 minutes, you could tell that they're obviously a different team when Zion's out there and playing in the fourth quarter and important minutes. So now that moves them to 2.5 games back of the Grizzlies for the eighth seed. A loss would have put them at 4.5 back and basically out of it. 2.5 is not crazy considering they play some bad teams down the stretch. They play the Kings twice, the Wizards once, and the Magic once in their final 5 games. Those are all winnable games. Then the Spurs as well. So if the Pelicans take care of business against the teams that are sub-500 or floating around the playoff perimeter, they should be able to really make this interesting. No matter what the NBA wins, because whether it's Ja Morant or Zion in that eighth seed, it's going to be a fun eighth seed to watch and a young star to be able to watch for a couple of games. It'll probably be an easy elimination by the one seed, but at least we'd get to see Zion or Ja Morant play for a handful of games against the LA Lakers. And the Lakers last night took care of the one seed by defeating the Utah Jazz. And the Lakers, I have felt all along, were the team to beat in all of the NBA since the beginning of the season. And the Clippers had a lot of attention, and understandably so. Acquiring Kawhi Leonard and Paul George mean that they have this two-headed monster and one of the greatest playoff performers in history in Kawhi. Got to take him seriously, good coach, deep, etc. The Bucks were coming off a really great season last year. Giannis put together an MVP campaign. He put together another MVP caliber campaign this year. They're the one seed of the East, and they're well coached. They've got great potential on the offensive side of things. They're fun. Could be their year. Could be the Raptors' year again. We've seen how good they have looked, and even without Kawhi, they seem to be just as strong, maybe without that alpha male, but still very strong. The Celtics are interesting. The Rockets are interesting. Look, there's a lot of interesting teams, but to me, it's always been the Lakers, in my mind, as the one with a bullet. And that's because LeBron proved this year that LeBron is still LeBron. LeBron proved this year that even at his advanced age, last year he was injured, the Lakers were terrible, missed the playoffs. Maybe some people thought that could be the beginning of the end for LeBron. But what James has showed us is that he, with a year of rest in the playoffs, could come back and do amazing things, something he has not had in years. I mean, when was the last time LeBron had all of that time off to get his head right and his body right and not go through that really deep playoff run that he had been accustomed to? I mean, the man made 8 consecutive NBA finals. So we saw LeBron go back to his old ways. And even though they had to trade a boatload for Anthony Davis, AD immediately became the best teammate that LeBron ever played with. And this is no offense to Dwayne Wade, who's a Hall of Famer. But by the time LeBron teamed with Dwayne Wade in Miami, Wade, who was already slightly undersized for the type of punishment that his body was going to take by throwing himself into the middle of the lane, all of that contact, driving to the hoop and doing it as the sole offensive option for so many years in Miami. Yes, they had Shaq for that NBA championship in 06, but for a huge swath of his career, he was the only thing there. That Anthony Davis, with his skill set, both offensively and defensively, what he can do in terms of protecting the rim, rebounding, still running on the outlet, as a shot blocker, as a scorer himself, the fact that he can score inside and outside. The fact is that Anthony Davis right now is the best teammate LeBron's ever had. And once you have two of the best 5 players in the game, look, that's a hand that you'll play every time in the NBA. It doesn't guarantee anything. But if LeBron and AD are playing at MVP caliber level, who else can challenge that? Now, we've seen the Clippers play great when Kawhi has played great and Paul George has played great. But look, that hasn't happened very often because Kawhi didn't play much. And there's a lot of load management going on with Kawhi, and we'll see how that factors into the playoffs. For the Bucks, they just simply don't have a secondary player that's nearly at the level of Giannis. And for the other teams in the East, you know, nobody can match the firepower of LeBron and AD. And I say this all because last night the Lakers clinched the number one seed in the West. And it was not because LeBron was great. It was because Anthony Davis was great. AD played 39 minutes last night. AD led all scorers with 42. He also grabbed 12 rebounds, had 4 assists, had 3 steals, and a block. AD was easily the best player on the floor, and it wasn't even close, but also proved that on any given night, he could be the best player in the NBA when he plays like that. That complete of an effort. 42, 12, 4, 3, 1. talk about filling up the stat sheet. Anthony Davis's wingspan was getting into passing lanes. He was creating turnovers to the other side as well. And he was finishing at the rim. And he could just take all the pressure off of LeBron. LeBron had a good day, but LeBron 22-9-8 isn't a sublime day. It's just what LeBron does. I know that there's a depth issue for the Lakers. And look, you can't ignore that. They lost Rondo for the time being, and they lost Avery Bradley for good, and their starting lineup is not all that imposing when it's JaVale McGee, who doesn't score last night, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's fine, and Danny Green, who's fine, but those aren't great players, and that your bench is Jared Dudley and Dwight Howard and Kyle Kuzma. I get it. But in the NBA, how often have we seen the best player or top two or three players have a hit rate of winning the NBA title time after time after time? And the fact is the Lakers have two of the best five players in the NBA, and on any given night, they could play like the best player in the NBA. And last night we saw why. Jazz are a good team. That's the five seed in the West. They're no slouches. And the Lakers were just a little bit better. I mean, in the third quarter, the Jazz completely fell apart, and the Lakers kind of just surged. It was a one or two possession game, and then the Lakers just went on a 12-0 run, I think, or a 14-0 run, and boom, that was it. That's the game. I know the Jazz played sloppy in that third quarter, but they're not a bad team. Donovan Mitchell had 33 last night, Mike Conley had 24, Rudy Gobert had 16. That's a pretty good middle-of-the-road Western Conference team, and third quarter they just melted, and the Lakers ran away with it. I still like the Lakers as the best team of the NBA. I still like the Lakers to win the Western Conference and to win the NBA Finals. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's read through some trashes on a Trash Tuesday. Rob in Topeka tweets, I'm trashing my wife. I wake up early for work, tiptoe around the house, quiet as a church mouse. The day I get to sleep in, she's getting ready for work, running the blow dryer, slamming doors, being so loud you think we're at a Pearl Jam concert. Hashtag get her out.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Billy in RVA tweets, I'm trashing. Well, first of all, he sets it up. Heavy rain, wind gusts, down trees, flash flooding, and we've got idiots driving their Civics through high water and stalling. Hey, guys, emergency personnel have better things to do than save your dumbass in the storm. Hashtag get them out.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Patrick tweets, I'm trashing the DA show for comparing Mraz to Schwartz. The Brooklyn Nets were looking for fans, for picks of fans, while Schwartz fished for birthday wishes for his son, fished for his kids to model XFL gear. People like seeing pictures of Taylor, seven-month-old kids, not videos of Schwartz talking. Trash the DA show staff.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Look, you could be right. Okay. Could be right.
I'm all here for any defense of me. I'll take that. Ask that guy if Cole makes an oven.
Certainly, you can't put Mraz as a full-on Schwartz, but we only call Mraz a budget-level Schwartz. He's like the dollar store Schwartz.
Right. I'm the Hydrox cookie to his Oreo.
Exactly. You're not a full-on Schwartz, but there's just some Schwartzian tendencies going on right now, like trying to get involved in the broadcast by putting gear on your daughter, reaching out and confirming with the media outlet to make sure you didn't miss it, changing your avatar to a picture of you and Taylor. And there's some Schwartzian tendencies also. An incessant stream of pictures with Taylor in every different outfit, costume change, everything that you do. I mean, there's just some Schwartzian tendencies here.
All right. I understand. I put it this way, but I'm not. It's as if I've gone as Schwartz for Halloween. I think that's the best way to look at it. And you have my word. From this point, no Taylor pictures for a week. That's what's going to happen. None.
Let me tell you, just by doing this, it has stolen my heart that Cap has put together a Photoshop picture of Schwartz with the Mraz face.
And it is amazing in every way, shape, and form. And I can't stop staring at it. I am transfixed to this picture. I'm going to have to tweet this out because I don't know about you, Mraz, but it's just effective enough to make you believe that that could be your future.
And you'll never see me coming.
I've said it all morning internally. My hip hurts looking at it. It's really bad, and it just makes me feel like my career is going to be part of the Arena Football League's reboot, and I just want to avoid this being the reality.
It is just a devastating possibility to see yourself as Peter Schwartz at Super Bowl 47, sitting on the sidelines with a WFAN hand mic and just going, my goodness, is that going to be my future? Now, of course, covering the Super Bowl would be anybody's dream, but to see Schwartz in what is definitely a free given to him polo with the belly and the look on his face and the media credential being sported with a free hat, definitely in an empty stadium, just makes you feel like, could that be Mraz's future?
My son won the tickets.
That is not how I would have dialed it up back in college and any of the 6 years is to end up like that.
Risk taker tweets, I'm trashing Merriam-Webster. How is that unthaw is a synonym of thaw? This is why other countries hate us. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Now, this bougie is, it ain't got bougie.
This is, we rarely trash the dictionary here, but this is really interesting. You know, risk taker brings up an interesting point. I never heard the word unthaw. But unthaw means to melt or thaw. The warm weather helped unthaw the rail lines. How can thaw and unthaw mean the same thing?
Oh, wow, I do use unthaw. I definitely say that. We need the ground to unthaw. I never use thaw. And now that you say what thaw is, unthaw and thaw are the same. That Miriam did it again.
That Miriam. Now, unthaw, according to this dictionary online, the quick Google search for the definition, says another definition of unthaw is still frozen or unmelted. Quote, it could not explain how future science might revise the unthawed dead. So could unthaw mean both thawed and frozen?
And you expected me to learn everything there is to know about life in school when this is the kind of stuff they're teaching kids.
This is very difficult to understand, but I'm glad that a risk taker brought this up because this is a true problem. How can Mraz ever be expected to learn anything if thaw and unthaw could mean the same thing or mean different things? Right. When we come back here on the show, Kevin Harlan's going to check in so we can talk about the NBA and the first opening couple of days is one of the voices of the NBA on TNT. Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
It's subliminal advertising. We learned about
it's what?
It in the marketing class. Subliminal advertising.
What was that again?
It's like Sublime the band. Oh, let me sound this out. Subliminal advertising.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico, not subliminally. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit? Car, motorcycle, RV policies, that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Did you know that the DA show is available in podcast form? Listen to it anytime you want to. It's on demand, full episodes, or the best of the show. It's pretty cool. You can go listen to all of the full hours of the show every single day or a one-hour condensed version, the best of. Just search the DA show on your favorite podcast platform, including radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and the rest, and you can listen on your own time. We've got Kevin Harlan, who's going to join us here on the DA Show in a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him about the NBA's restart. So far, so good. But standing by right now is our good friend and kind Sir Andrew Bogish, who has our headlines. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. These headlines sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. It was our cold open this morning. The Pelicans let Zion Williamson play 25 minutes last night at Disney World. He was even on the floor as they closed out a 109-99 win over the 8th place Grizzlies.
That's just my competitive spirit. You know, I'm not even gonna lie to you. It just hits different in a bad way when I'm on the bench in the fourth quarter and there's nothing I can do to help my team win. So yeah, I felt alive. It was just great to be out there doing whatever I can to help my team
Zion
win.
Zion posted 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in those 25 minutes. His team won, so it's now 2.5 games behind Memphis. The Spurs and Blazers are 2 back. Now, nobody's catching the Lakers atop the conference. They clinched number 1 with last night's 116-108 win over the Jazz. Anthony Davis, 42 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. 6 more games today, starting with the Bucks and Nets at 130 Eastern. Milwaukee's a win or a Toronto loss away from wrapping up the top spot in the East. And that G League select team for elite prospects will reportedly be located in Walnut Creek, California. The Jaguars have taken QB Gardner Minshew off the COVID-19 list. You end up there by either testing positive or being around someone who did. Teams are not allowed to specify. Meanwhile, players now have until Thursday afternoon to opt out of the season because of coronavirus. They don't have a full week now that the adjusted CBA is officially in place. Atlanta Braves ace Mike Soroka tore his right Achilles trying to cover first base against the Mets last night. He is obviously done for the season. The Braves also saw their 5-game win streak end 7-2. The Rockies beat the Giants 7-6. 7-2 matches the best start in Colorado history. The Yankees beat the Phillies 6-3 for a 7-game win streak. It's 4 in a row for the Twins thanks to a 5-4 final over the Pirates. It'll be a 10-game schedule for Big 12 football. School presidents decided last night on 9 league games plus 1 at a conference. The start date for it all is likely in mid to late September. The Edmonton Oilers got the final win on ice last night, 6-3 over the Blackhawks, evening that series at 1. Connor McDavid scored 3 times. But could never match our Connor Green's Trash Tuesday on Virtual Fans. And finally, guys, there is growing legal pushback to The Rock buying the XFL for just $15 million. Now, a lot of these details are above me, so hopefully I'm describing it correctly here. But people who are owed money by the XFL through this bankruptcy filing believe that maybe, and they admit they don't have evidence, but it seems like this could be the case, that The Rock and Vince McMahon are somehow in cahoots. The way that the purchase is structured, some of the debt, some of the lawsuits, I guess, would be almost absorbed, so to speak, in this purchase. However the specifics are, the people are afraid that Vince McMahon's going to be let off the hook for certain things and also be able to recoup some of the money that he is actually owed from the XFL. So they think that the judge needs to be aware of the fact that The Rock and this purchase might not be completely 100% legitimate because of the relationship between these two guys.
Oh, my.
Well, that's interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't know about you, Bogues, but I mentioned this to Mraz last segment. I thought $15 million seemed like chump change to buy an entire league. Now, I know that they're bankrupt, so you have to pay out debts, I would imagine, or some types of, I mean, unless they just all go to Chapter 11 and that it's not your responsibility. But, of course, there's going to be other costs involved. But $15 million is not a lot, especially for The Rock and investors behind him. Number two, that's probably less than Oliver Luck is still owed. And that's not a joke. I'm pretty sure Oliver Luck signed like a $25 million contract and that he was paid out maybe $8 million or something. So I think they paid less for the league then Oliver Luck is still owed, which is where this could become very complicated. Does The Rock owe the money to, you know, Oliver Luck and others? Does that still fall onto Vince McMahon's, you know, business sheet? And for The Rock, he can do no wrong in popular culture. He's beloved by parents. He's beloved by wrestling fans. He's respected by athletes. He's respected by sports fans. He's loved by kids. He's in kids' movies and action movies. He's somehow kind of walking this line between tough guy and clean cut. He's the type of guy that can go on the Ellen show and make a bunch of, you know, housewives scream and giggle. He's also the type of guy that can be at a football game and make grown men be like, oh, man, The Rock's the best. So he can do no wrong. If he aligns himself with Vince McMahon and comes off as like this shady, I don't know, henchman for Vince and let him off the hook and all that wrestling stuff, that would be the first ding PR-wise to The Rock. And, you know, it does make you wonder if they're in cahoots, because, of course, they've got a relationship based on their wrestling days. But The Rock usually does everything that everybody loves. So this would be weird if he did kind of get into a shady deal. So that's a really interesting story. I'm glad you brought that up. So the NBA is back, and one of the voices of the NBA on TNT is our friend Kevin Harlan. Kevin is here with us this morning. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Good to be on with you. Hope you're healthy and safe and enjoying the start of all these different seasons. They're coming at us fast and furious.
Well, back at you. And I have really enjoyed them. I know our listeners have really enjoyed them. And the basketball, to me, to start off inside the bubble, has been way better at a higher level and more intense than I would have expected. Has it surprised you at all?
Yeah, I think the focus has been there. The conditioning of the players, I think, for the most part, has been terrific. They've basically had an off season with this 4-month suspension, so you've got kind of early season feel to this environment, but almost a grade above, because when you begin in October, go to camp in September, you've got month after month after month that you've got to get through. 82 games, all the travel, all the, you know, just, it's just like endless, and you never see the light at the end of the tunnel. When you come here, it's compared to what was a marathon, now is a sprint. You've got 8 games to kind of get your legs, find what your seeding is going to be, and then you go right into the playoffs. So getting focused and having veteran voices on these teams and a coach who's got a commanding presence, as most of these coaches here do, I think can really get a team to come together and probably surprise some people how much they can stay. Listen, we've got a long way to go, but so far the early indications are spectacular, and the league's got to feel very proud.
I think a lot of people were surprised at the dominance the Raptors showed over the weekend against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers have had 2 other impressive wins, but that game, they really got solved by the Toronto Raptors. What can the Raptors do to a great team like the Lakers that make them look so discombobulated?
Well, defensively, as we all know, that's their calling card, and they've bought in. They use kind of some cutting-edge schemes and the way they position their players, and they're long and athletic. They play the outside as well as they can, you know, junk up the middle. The one thing, DA, that they've got now that they didn't have when we went on hiatus in the middle of March is they've got health. Like, all their guys are back, including Marc Gasol and Fred VanVleet, who are 2 very important parts. Gasol, just from the fact that he can clog the middle, former all-star, has an outside shot, terrific passer, knows the game, veteran voice, and VanVleet, who made his bones in this league with defense, and then has added all the things that make an NBA player an NBA player, the 3-point shot, great handle. And so when you think now they're at full steam, and they were so close to being the top team anyway, you know, just in back in Milwaukee, and had given teams in the East problems shorthanded when they were, like, deficient in using young players to do what they're doing now, shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, this is a championship organization that is drafted for a purpose, and the coach will probably be coach of the year, although Billy Donovan at Oklahoma City was recognized the other day. Mike Budenholzer voted by NBA coaches. People I've talked to think that Nick Nurse is, again, the coach of the year, and that would not surprise me. He's done a marvelous job, but defense, they begin with defense, and everything goes from there.
That's the inimitable voice of Kevin Harlan for the NBA on TNT. He joins us this morning here on the show. You know, as you're calling games, this is a new reality. It's a new normal, and there's no fans in attendance, although there are virtual fans. There's no sound in the crowd, but there is crowd noise from how they're pressing buttons. How are you calling a game? You're usually so enthusiastic, but I feel like you also draw off the energy of the crowd. How has that been different for you?
Well, it has been different, and as a broadcaster, as you are, you know, and you've done games, and you know the value that that crowd has. It's like a an orchestra, and it fills in, it energizes, and after a big call, you usually lay out and let that fan noise, that great explosion of passion, that symphony, that orchestra kind of fill in the back end of your call. Well, you don't really have that now, and it is canned, and it does give us, I think, as viewers, a feel, a presence of, you know, being more than just looking like guys in a gym. And that's been kind of the beauty of what TNT and ESPN and the league have formulated, and it's being tweaked all the time. I mean, they're still working on the right recipe, but, you know, they're getting closer, and it does feel, if you didn't know, when you're walking through a room and heard the game going on, that we were courtside and the crowd was there, and, you know, there were still the same elements that we all enjoy about professional sports. But this is different, there's no doubt. We're not on the floor either, and I've actually had a couple of meals here with Mike Breen and Ian, and we're in the same hotel, and we've all kind of discussed the same thing. When you're on the floor as a broadcaster doing basketball, you sense and anticipate and can feel so much. And I guess I really didn't appreciate it because I've always been on the floor. When you're back, as we are now, and we're 40 rows back and deep, and we're not high, but back 40 rows and then back further, you miss that. And it's hard to anticipate those big plays. And we're like in a little plexiglass cubicle where everything is, you know, even more cordoned off, and we don't feel any kind of presence with our analysts, with our, you know, our crew or anything else. So, no, it's different, and we're not complaining. We're all adapting, and the players are too, but it's a different feel. And let me tell you, I've gone back and watched DA some games that I did this past year, and looking at a crowd and watching their reaction and having them so much a part of the game is the one element I think probably more than anything else we're all going to welcome back. When fans are in those seats, cheering on those teams, and you have the real feel of a game. Because right now, clearly it's artificially induced, and you've got to do the best you can. And I think pretty much everybody is.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And one of the things a lot of listeners probably have never had the chance to do is, if you're courtside for a big-time college basketball game or an NBA game, the speed of it and the size of the players, the grace and the power that you see up close is just, it's impossible to replicate when you're upstairs or sitting, you know, in the press box or whatever. I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine that has worked at the NBA for 8 years. And when you're that low, you just feel everything differently. It is pretty astounding when you're courtside and you watch LeBron blow by you versus even how amazing it is on TV. Just how different is that experience for you when you're courtside?
Yeah, it's you anticipate, you're kind of ahead of the ball, actually, kind of ahead of the play. You can see things, you know, clearly out of the corner of your eye. Here, there is no corner of the eye because now you're tunneled, you're funneled, you're focused, you're like a very thin strip that you're looking at and having to take in a lot of moving parts. One of the other things that we, you know, have to work at even more are just seeing substitutions. When your eyes are on the floor and you're hearing voices and commands and the coaching and everything else, you're scanning and you're really feeling all these moving parts. When you're up high, you lose that. You know, there's been this trend in the NBA, even in college, you know, those courtside seats are really valuable. So the people that are getting kicked upstairs have been the NBA radio announcers. And they're going in hockey broadcast booths. They're going in suites that are halfway to three-quarters of the way up. And I feel for them. And it is not the same. And I've heard guys complain about it. I thought, well, you know, just doing a game is doing a game. But they're right. It's a different feel. Basketball needs it. Hockey is so much bigger, and you've got the players on both sides for sure. But it just feels like it would be an easier sport to call because it's happening so fast. In the NBA, little passes, small screens, a little brush. Like, there's so much intricacy going on that if you're not right on top of it, you miss it. You may see it in the replay, but the key is to see it as it happens. And that's the kind of things that we feel like we're kind of missing. We don't have the biggest screens in front of us where we are. So you're trying to cram a lot. It really is the size, to be quite honest, of a goal judge in hockey. That's what it feels like. And it is like, I can stretch my arm and my palm will touch the plexiglass right in front of me. I move my elbow off the side of my body up 5-6 inches, and now I've hit the sides of the plexiglass on the sides where I'm broadcasting from. So, no, it's a different experience, and we're all adjusting a little bit on the fly.
Well, it's a testament to you and so many of the other NBA broadcasters that I don't think a lot of listeners or viewers can tell the difference. The calls have been great. I thought that, you know, the energy has been pretty good with digital fans, and the video boards look good, and the game looks intense and urgent and athletic and not sloppy. So that's been a real testament to the league as well. Kevin Harlan joining us this morning on the show from the NBA on TNT. You see him and watch him there as the NBA has returned in Orlando. Kevin, it's great to catch a couple of minutes with you this morning. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work down there.
DA, I listen to you all the time. Thanks for having me on. You have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
You too. My pleasure. Kevin Harlan joining us here on the show. I have thought that the NBA has done this best because they've somehow captured energy inside the building. The one thing I have not liked is over-modulating artificial crowd noise. You know, I don't need to hear Breen and Van Gundy or Breen and Jackson or whatever drowned out by artificial crowd noise. That I don't need. I don't care how many times the digital fans are pressing a button. I don't care. That should not happen. It should not sound like it's, you know, Oracle Arena for game 3 of the NBA Finals. But the digital fans have worked because they're reacting in real time, and the video boards give you action and color, and the game itself has looked pretty crisp and fun. And it's just seemingly worked. I think hockey has worked as well. I like the backdrops where they have cordoned off all the seats. And so there's just kind of big NHL logos there. It looks professional. It looks clean. It's not distracting. I like it. I think baseball's done it worst. I think baseball has just dropped the ball. The fact that we've got dopey cardboard cutouts, the fact that the cardboard cutouts aren't even in every seat, the fact that the cutouts are mal-shaped and they're different focused and different colors and they've got head space all around them, I think looks so shoddy. And the fact that we've got tarps that are just kind of droopy, looking like me and my dad dragged the tarp over the pool or put some leaves in there. I mean, you know, during the fall because they fell off the trees or it's been just left out in the yard, I think looks so sloppy. And when a ball is hit to the outfield, there is no reason I should see 30,000 empty seats. You should put huge signage over those seats, and that ball should bounce off of a taut tarp with a big logo of like Dunkin' Donuts or Ford on it. There's no reason I should be reminded constantly of all the people that aren't there because there's these dopey cardboard cutouts that look like I'm faking for my 4-year-old daughter, you know, somebody in a school play, or she's put on a puppet show and we're going, oh, look, there's 10 people at the puppet show because I put, you know, a bunch of cardboard cutouts out there. It looks so cheap in JV. And when a home run's hit and there's 30,000 empty seats, I'm reminded, oh, yeah, there's nobody there. But the NHL and the NBA doing it well. I think they're doing it well. when we come back here on the show. More trash is in a Trash Tuesday, and your advanced analytics in epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
So we found out last night that because Mraz had to endure the Rangers getting punked by the Carolina Hurricanes, he ate and overate really bad food, leading him to be far more angry this morning at Zion Williamson and other things. So we asked you today, does eating poorly lead you to be more angry at sports? On Twitter, 57% of people said no. On Facebook, 56% said no. A new study at the University of Bath found that binge eating on occasion doesn't have major metabolic consequences. Some men ate up to 2.5 pizzas in one sitting. That's about 5,000 calories, and their metabolism didn't change much. Their blood sugar levels were similar to having eaten a normal meal.
Oh.
So, I guess, Mraz, you know, you're all right.
I'm all right. See, you know what? One good balancing day, and I'm right back at it. That's all. That's all. Ice cream sundae a week keeps the doctor away.
Delusion! Delusion for everybody. I love the 57% saying, no, I can eat like total crap all day long, and I feel great. Oh, yeah, I hate my sports team. They led me to overeating, and no, there's no ill effects of that. Let's get to your epic fail. Here was Mraz's meltdown earlier this morning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Frustrated last night because where was this the last couple nights? And I think it's a whole-encompassing situation where I think Gentry dropped the ball early.
Let's dig into this psychologically here. What time did the Rangers play yesterday?
They played at noon. I had a rough day. It was probably
what
a little frustrating.
What did you eat? What did you eat?
Chorizo! All right, well, now we're revealing something. I ended up falling off a diet yesterday, and I got a big Chipotle bowl. I buried a whole bag of chips. I then proceeded to get a big ice cream sundae. And then for dinner, right as the game tipped off, I had two hamburgers with bacon, and then I had a hot dog with coleslaw, and I had two pieces of corn on the cob, and then I had three Corona Lights. So, yes, I would say that when I watched Zion at 6:30 was at the peak of my I feel terrible about myself. I feel terrible about the way I look. I feel terrible about the way I feel. And now I'm watching this fat slob dunk all over the place, and Gentry's finally taking it off. I would say you... Nom, 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 nom. You know what? You're right. I came out too hot. This is supposed to be a fun morning show. I just laid into Zion after you had a wonderful take. And it really, honestly, the show didn't deserve it. That didn't deserve it. And it dawns on me that, yes, while I was watching the Pelicans game, I completely overdid myself. And I sank 2 weeks of hard work on losing weight because the Rangers can't put a freaking puck in the net on a power play. DA, I got to run real 1 second. I got an oopsie. And they're an absolute disgrace. And I wasted 4 months coming back all excited. The Rangers are going to make a run. And they suck. And they suck. My life sucks. My belly sucks. And I had about 7,000 calories yesterday.
What a disgusting human being.
So you know what, Zion? You don't deserve that. Maybe I need a minutes restriction on the DA show. Maybe I, after 7 years, didn't get put in the proper weight protocol on this show. So yes, thank you. Psychologically, you hit on a lot of things. Last night was rough. Screw me.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
My life sucks. My belly sucks is a great instant classic quote. Hopefully we can save that as a drop. My life sucks. My belly sucks. Rob tweets in, DA, I'm trashing my wife for giving me hell for buying a $28 hat from Lids, but allows my daughter to get a $15 fake tattoo. And I'm the crazy one. Hashtag get her out.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
Thanks, everybody, that sent in their trashes this morning here on the DA Show. Good stuff. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Connor Green of the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Kevin Wall, associate producer. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be reviewing Angels in the Outfield. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.